Welcome to the Teletown Hall with Congressman Steve Kagan. Thank you so much for being with us. I want to remind you that if you want to ask a question of the congressman, please dial *3 on your phone, and I'll be able to take your question. Now it gives me pleasure to introduce Congressman Steve Kagan.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. This is Congressman Steve Kagan joining you tonight from Washington, D.C. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us. At the present time, about 2,400 people have joined us on the telephone, and I doubt that I'll be able to get to everybody's phone call question. Good evening. This is Congressman Steve Kagan from Washington, D.C. Thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedules. And we went into music hold again. All right. We're having a few technical difficulties, but, hey, that's what you get when the government's on the phone. This is Congressman Steve Kagan from Washington. I'm glad that you took the time to be with us tonight, and I hope that we don't have too many technical difficulties. We've had over 46,000... And it's gone into music hold again. So I'll just keep talking, and hopefully the technicians will work out the details. But we find... All right, so I'm told by the technologist we should be good. So I'll just keep talking. Hopefully the technology catches up with all of us. Thank you very much for being with me this evening. I'm here in Washington, D.C., and I'm calling you to be involved in tonight's discussion about our economy in particular. We had had a staggering 2.6 million Americans lose their job during the last year. And during this year, an additional 2 million people may lose their job as well. So what Congress has done is to put forward the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which hopes to save and create 3 to 4 million new jobs and helping to rebuild America. At the same time, this bill intends to do a number of things. First, it intends to cut taxes for the middle class. This means in our district in Northeast Wisconsin, 181,000 households will have a tax cut of anywhere between $500 to $1,000 coming back to you. 61,000 of you will also benefit from an earned income tax credit, and 26,000 students will receive a $2,500 tax credit to help them with the high cost of education. So the first aim of this act is to provide tax cuts immediately to the middle class, those who need it the most. The bill also is written to provide the creation of jobs, not by federal government, but by private industry. We're aiming to invest in America once again, and hopefully we will now rebuild America, our roads, our bridges, our water treatment plants, and our schools. Additionally, this bill will help to assist those who need help the most, those who've lost their jobs. We'll be extending unemployment compensation and also putting in more money and investments into food stamps to help those who need it at school. Now, additionally, this bill will modernize our economy by investing in newer, renewable forms of energy and will stabilize state budgets across the country by providing state governments like Wisconsin, who has a $5.6 or $5.7 billion deficit coming forward, with some assistance. So with that brief introduction about this humongous $815 billion bill that was sent to the Senate and is now under debate there, I will shut down my comments and hopefully receive some questions for you. And so let's turn first to Jim. Jim, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Jim, how are you this evening? How can we help
you? I'm just fine. Hello?
Yes, we're with you, Jim. Are you from Peshtigo?
Yes, I am. I went to your town hall meeting here down at City Hall 3-4 weeks ago.
Thank you very much. How can we help you tonight?
Well, my question is, turn the news on today, and every day it's very devastating to the fact that another 8,000 jobs were lost, and in President Obama's administration, he promised change. Now, I realize this is going to take time, and he is saying 2 to 3 years. The American middle-class person don't have 2 or 3 years with the loss in this economy, our pensions. And in lieu of that, when I hear that these people in Washington, not speaking of you, but other ones that he's nominating for higher offices, are so delinquent in paying their taxes, that is downright disgraceful to the American people like me and everybody else that are paying their wages. Why are they not held accountable?
I agree with you 100%, Jim, and I feel just like you do, and my staff can attest that fact. When I came in this morning, I was in a pretty bad mood because of the fact that the person nominated for the Secretary of Health and Human Services had to cough up $120,000 of back taxes that he, quote-unquote, forgot to pay. Well, with a memory like that, we don't need him in such a high position. And I was very pleased to see that he stepped out of the way so that the president can select somebody else. But you're absolutely right. What we need now in public office, not just at the city level in Peshtigo or the county level, but at the state and federal level, is people with good judgment. We see now what poor judgment and bad judgment has done to our economy. Just last quarter, 28% of businesses, the investments had gone south, and we dropped our exports. The home building went down another 24%, and consumers like you and everybody else, the spending is down because you just don't have the money in your pocket to afford what you really need to get. Now, last month, 588,000 people, American citizens, lost their jobs. That's last month alone. This is the greatest decrease in the greatest job loss since 1945, and it mimics what happened in the Great Depression. So what we have to do is fashion legislation that will begin to reverse this. And I've made a very strong and forceful argument that what we need to do is invest in small business. By that I mean small business owners should be able to go into the bank and get the credit that they require to generate new jobs. Don't count on the government to bail you out with some bailouts like they did with the big banks that didn't work. You count on yourself and small business, and I want to make it possible for banks to make sure the credit becomes more available. But I agree with you, Jim, that it's very important that our elected leaders live up to and exceed our expectations and show good judgment in the process. So remember, if you want to ask a question, dial star number 3. And next, let's go to Dan from Lena. Good evening, Dan. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, thank you. Hey, you just said to the other caller not to count on the government to bail you out, but the House just passed this $815 billion stimulus package. I was just curious, where is that money going to come from? Because if we have to borrow it, that means the future generation is going to be indebted even further. And if you just print it, then you're going to infuse the market with a lot of cash, which is going to cause inflation years down the road. So I just want to know, where is that money coming from? And are you guys prepared for the ramifications of what's going to happen after you spend it?
Boy, Dan, it's a darn good question. Let me paint the picture for you. January 1st of this year, 2009, we were handed a debt hole, if you will, of $10.35 trillion. It's an increase. Go back 8 years. When President Clinton left office, he left us with a budget surplus, and we piled up $10.3 trillion of debt in the last 8 years. And that does not include all of the debts we have to pay for Iraq and Afghanistan, our war on terrorism, just yet. So when it comes to this bill, I look at it this way. Yeah, I just want to answer your question, that what's really going on is we have to invest in America again. We have to stop spending money overseas, and we're going to invest our tax dollars anywhere. It should be right here in America, rebuilding our roads, our bridges, and our schools. So I believe very strongly that if we're going to borrow money from anybody, it ought to be invested here in America, rebuilding our own infrastructure and rebuilding our own country. Are you still there, Dan? Dan, we seem to have lost you, but to answer your question, you're quite right that the next generation is going to have a pile of debt that has never been seen before by any country, and it's going to take a great deal of work and effort to pay our way out of this thing. But what the bill also does is reshape America. We're going to become energy independent over the next period of years because of this bill. We're investing in renewable energy. We're extending the production tax credit so people like in Wausaukee can benefit, the Wausaukee Composite. And we're going to allow for a 30% investment tax credit as well. Not only that, we're making certain that people have access to health care, because the number one cause of bankruptcy in our district right now is the impossible cost for health care. So thank you, Dan, very much for your question. I agree with you. It's an impossible situation to have this much debt, but instead of digging down, we got to start working our way back by investing in America. Next, I want to go to Marinette and talk with Ed. Ed, are you there?
Here.
Ed, thank you for calling in. How can we help you tonight?
My question is, well, I'm a veteran of two wars and combat in both, and up at the VA, they keep changing doctors. That means they're changing your medication all the time. And another thing, the gas prices are going sky high up here again, $1.95 already for, and they say the price of oil is down, but still the prices of gas is up.
Yeah.
Being 83 years old, I got one other problem. They're changing this television, and I'm not, my mind
right.
ain't where I can switch it and all that, and to get somebody to come over, especially with the cold weather, they don't want to even come out. So I think that should be extended longer to give the elderly people more chance in the warmer months to get somebody to come and help them.
Ed, I agree with you, and I voted last week to extend that digital TV rollout to make sure that in springtime, maybe in June or so, by that time we'll all get the right rabbit ears and right adjustments so that you don't lose your television contact with the world. But just as important, if not more so, let me thank you for your service to the country. I appreciate the fact that you volunteered and you served with great honor and great courage, and I've been working very hard to make sure that every veteran of every war, wherever, gets the benefits that they well deserve. About 4 out of 10 soldiers that come back from Iraq today are not getting their health care benefits or their education benefits. So we got to help to make sure that our veterans understand what their benefits are and make sure they get those benefits close to home. That's why I worked real hard to get a new VA hospital down in Green Bay. It's going to be an outpatient surgical center, and it's also going to be a wonderful place to go to for 15,000 veterans across northeast Wisconsin. So thank you very much for your call. And next, let's go to George.
Hi. Hello?
George, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
George, great.
Yeah,
thanks for calling in.
I would like to know when Washington is going to get back to the basics and, clear up all this party line stuff and
right.
get back to what they're supposed to be doing and not bailing out the people that caused the problem.
Yeah.
I found out today that my company is going to be consolidating and my job is going to be gone by the middle of summer.
Jeez,
and my wife is handicapped.
Yeah.
Huh?
What company
my
do you
wife
work
is
for?
Handicapped. Huh?
Yeah. I'm sorry, what company do you work for?
I'm not allowed to divulge that right
now. Oh, okay.
Now. I work
okay,
in
sure.
Shawnee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
I live in Navarino, which is a very small community. And I just want to know when you guys are going to get it back to working for America again.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm working hard with everybody who's here, both Republicans, Democrats, Independents. I'm working with Ron Paul to try and put a fence around the Federal Reserve to make sure they can't just keep printing money without coming to Congress and
well,
asking
I understand
for permission.
That, but
yeah.
The people that caused the problem are getting bailed out, and it just isn't fair to everybody
well,
that works in this country.
I agree with you, and I voted against the bailouts. I voted against them twice because I didn't think they would work. And what Congress did is they rewarded the people that took the money and caused the failure. We shouldn't be rewarding failure. We should be rewarding success. And what we need
well, I
to
understand
do,
that.
Yeah, but in this particular bill that I'm talking about tonight, the Recovery Act and Reinvestment Act, it has unprecedented oversight so that we will know who's in charge of our taxpayer money. There'll be somebody's neck on the line, and we'll know where that's going to be going. You can track it on the Internet. The problem with it is that we can't get this money through all this bureaucracy fast enough to make sure it gets into the banks and then through the governor's office and then into the private businesses so we can build the roads and wastewater treatment plants and begin
well,
to stimulate the
I
country.
Guess...
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
When is the bureaucracy going to end, and when is the party lines going to end? And when is the people in Washington going to work for the people again?
Well, I'm working hard for you. I got nobody else to work for. I'm your hired hand. What else you want me to do for you? I voted against the You know, the big bailout.
I don't know. Go into Congress and tell everybody to get their hands out from underneath their butts and do something for the American people.
That'll be my speech. I'll deliver that message for you, and I appreciate your phone call, and I couldn't agree with you more. Let's go to Alberta. Alberta, are you there?
I am.
Thank you for calling in. How can we help you tonight?
Well, the thing of it is, I explained it before. I don't see on TV. I don't have any paperwork coming from anybody. I get your cards, you know, blah, 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 that you're working for us and all this stuff. But I never received a card since stating where this money is going. Piecemeal it. Don't just say
sure.
$850,000. Tell us where the money is going to be designated to what bailout.
You bet.
You say that it's going to the middle-class people. Crock of crap. Because I see on, well, one thing on TV, it said that they were buying, of this stimulus bill, so much money was going to buy congressmen's cars. Why do we as taxpayers, like getting $630 Social Security, we pay taxes, we, you know, utilities. There's people here in Silver Cliff that have a choice, either buy the food that goes on their table or buy the drugs that will help them through another day. There
sure.
is no justice in there is no justice in Congress or anywhere when you can take and give a bailout for a car company when they give themselves bonuses before they get the bail, then they get the bailout. Absolutely no justice. I think that you and everyone that's in the public place or facility, you should be accountable to the state of Wisconsin for a listing of exactly where dollar one is going and where. Why did we bail out GMC when they were already $62 billion or whatever it was? They were ready to bankruptcy. How many times have we bailed out Chrysler? There's people that are losing their, have lost their homes because they can't make the mortgage payments.
Yep.
And you guys are not getting. You're saying that you're in there for us. Well, then you dang well should be in there telling us where the bottom dollar goes. I as a taxpayer, I have to pay my taxes, or I'd lose my place.
I agree with you 100%. I want to thank you for your
comment.
We're
not getting any of the money. We're not getting any of the money.
Well, when you say that, what school system are you in?
What school system?
Yeah, what school system services you there in Silver Cliff?
Wasaki School.
Okay, well, let's see. Wasaki would get, with this bill, $518,000 to help.
But how much money are you guys getting for cars and et cetera? That's
well,
what
I'm
I want to know.
Yeah, I'm not getting anything for a car, but I can tell you this, that the people that I have employed to work for you, they're your hired hands. They're working very hard, and I'm sure they could make a lot more money somewhere else. With regard to, you know, spelling out every dime and every dollar, with this stimulus package, let me go back first to the bailouts. I was dead set against. I said hell no to the bailouts because it wasn't going to work. It was rewarding people for failure. If they're going to drive the bus into a ditch, well, they shouldn't be rewarded for it. And there wasn't enough string attached to it so they could do with it what they would. For example, some of that bailout money went into in China. Now, if that's our tax dollars, we ought to be investing it here in America, not overseas, in particular in northeast Wisconsin. But let me tell you what this bill that got through the House that I did vote for would do for people in our district. We would have 181,000 households get a tax rebate of $500 to $1,000, and that's just the beginning. If you're working, you know, you're going to get that tax credit. But you also get an earned income tax credit that would affect 61,000 families just in northeast Wisconsin alone, and they'd get a 45% tax credit on that. On top of that, if you're going to school, you'd get $2,500 to help you with the high cost of college. And so we put a lot of investments into people, people that need help the most. But I agree with you that we shouldn't be bailing people out. We should be investing in America. If you got the money, go ahead and buy something with it. If you don't have the money, well, then you shouldn't be buying it. We should live within our means in Washington, just like we do here in Northeast Wisconsin. And thank you so much for your call. Craig, are you there from Peshtigo?
Yes, I am, Senator Kagan. Thank you for calling me. I appreciate that.
You bet. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, you could imagine that, probably a lot, considering our economic condition that we're in today. I'm not typically a monetarist sort of individual. I used to be involved in economic development, believed heavily in fiscal policy.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's time to start the printing machines up.
Yeah.
Basically, I believe that we can use this money to help get the dollar at a great value when we're thinking about our economy, globally, and create some really good positions for our companies in our country to ship our product to Japan, China, and India. The other thing you had mentioned, Wasaki Composites earlier today.
Yep.
In your discussion, that's kind of a hidden jewel up here. A lot of people might know about it, heard about it. I was involved with economic development. I think that fiberglass technology is going to be very beneficial for our economy in this region for many years to come. And we have a technical college nearby that we could put in a school there and train some people on how to use this technology. There's another company called Carver Boats. Cruisers Yachts, down in Okano and in Green Bay. They could also use people from the school. But to get to a point here, I'm not typically a protectionist, but I think we can create some competitive advantages. And one of them is no tax breaks for non-U.S. companies. I got one more point to make. When we do bring our troops back home, I believe that they are fantastic leaders to help our unemployed individuals throughout our country work on our infrastructure projects. Just some ideas here, and this HDTV stuff, as far as importance and urgency, that should be tabled. We should focus in our economy.
Yep. Well, I feel very strongly that we have to protect and support our soldiers and support them before, during, and after they've been in harm's way, and in particular when they come back from Iraq. 30%, almost one out of three soldiers that has been serving in Iraq has post-traumatic stress disorder. We have to make sure they get the care that they need. It doesn't just affect them. It affects their whole family and also their employers. So everybody's making that sacrifice. In my view, we can't afford to stay in Iraq. We should be investing that hard-earned tax dollars right here at home. I thank you for your call. And let me go ahead and ask if we couldn't speak to Mark from Marinette. You've got a question about Medicare.
Right. I'm disabled. According to Social Security and Medicare, I can't have for 2 years. I can't figure out why once you're disabled, you can't get it right away.
Well,
bypass surgery because I can't walk 25 feet.
I hear you. Well, one of the problems we have in Washington is that one bureaucracy doesn't talk to the other bureaucracy. So Social Security and Medicare are two different worlds, and they have different definitions of what 100% disability is. But I'd be happy to, if you'd call our office, we could look into this for you. Maybe a phone call from Congressman Kagan's office could make some changes for you. My office number that's closest to you is going to be the one in Green Bay. And if you'd, Mark, write that number down, it's 920-437-1954. That's
920-437-1954.
So it's 437-1954 with a 920 in front of it. And give us a call tomorrow, and let's get started on this, open up a case, and see what we can do to help you out, because from what you described, if you're unable to walk 25 feet,
that
counts for Social Security. And qualifying for Medicare, it would help you out a great deal, I'm sure, with some of your prescription drugs.
They say 2 years.
Yeah. It's tough to wait 2 years when you're already disabled. Thank you very much for your question. Judy from Shawano, let's hear from you. How are you tonight, Judy? Or we've tapped into Jerome, I guess. Jerome?
Good evening.
How are you, Jer?
I'm cold, but I'm inside, so I'm warm, but I'm relating to the season. However, my question, that as we analyze the stimulus package that you are looking at, certainly the House version, and you've talked to tax cuts, over a third are tax cuts. We have, as you have spoken, serious infrastructure needs. We have needs to reform our health care system, and I would wonder how you felt about universal health care. And, of course, education, alternative energy. Tax cuts are not an investment. They are not efficient. And the most recent stimulus that was tax cuts, everybody judged a failure in terms of job creation or economic impact. How do you respond that tax cuts, which are not efficient or effective, are so large a part of the stimulus package?
Well, I think it's very important to restore confidence on the part of consumers, and that they're not confident without having a job. So we have to help private industry to create the millions of jobs that we need, and we can do that by investing in infrastructure. We have to restore confidence in consumers again by immediately injecting some cash into their pocket, give them some tax breaks so that they can go to the stores and begin to stimulate the economy once again. You would agree, I'm sure, that our economy is a consumer-based economy. And right now the consumer is just flat on his back. The other question you raise is about universal health care. And that's a funny adjective, universal. I want to get to the point where all of us can afford to go into a pharmacy, dig into our pocket, put the money on the counter, walk out with the prescription drugs that we need instead of going to the bank first. We can get there. We can get there if we change some rules here in Washington by making sure that there's open and transparent medical marketplace. So I want to make sure that we have a marketplace. I don't believe that the federal government can run health care for people, and I was involved in government medicine when I was a doctor in the Veterans Administration hospitals, and so I understand it from the inside out, not just as a physician, a patient, and a father, but I've been involved in it. Thank you for your question. And Judy from Shawano, we're going to try and hook you up here and ask you how you're doing tonight.
Hi, Steve. Are you there?
Judy, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great.
I saw you on television at the inauguration. In the upper right-hand corner.
Yeah,
anyway,
I got a special seat.
Yeah, I know. What are chances of you being appointed Secretary of Health and Human Services?
I had no idea you had such a good sense of humor. I like the job that I have as your congressman and representing you. It's a lot more work, a heck of a lot more work than I ever imagined, but the HHS, Health and Human Services, job is a terribly important one, but right now I think I can do a better job for you writing legislation here in the House and help to shepherd it through the administration of the new president, Barack Obama. I'm confident that we have now a president that can actually listen to us and will work with us. He's appointing Republicans and Democrats to his administration. I think he has good judgment. You can witness that when he probably behind the scenes asked Mr. Daschle to step aside because of his tax problems. But I enjoy being your representative, and I thank you for sending me here. Thank you, Judy. Ted, let's go to you. You're up in Minocqua. How's Minocqua doing tonight?
Yes, I am. Oh, I'm doing all right. How about you?
Doing great. Happy to talk with you.
Okay, I got a few questions. I want to know, first, if you supported the stimulus bill as the Obama administration sent it to Congress. And second question is, wouldn't giving more money in the people's hands better stimulate the economy? And I guess my thoughts on that would be, to offer a tax break if you buy a new vehicle, offer a tax break if you buy a house, and so on.
Yep, those are very good ideas, and they are beginning to be written into legislation. For example, there's a bill floating around the Congress that may come forward that'll give anywhere from $7,500 to a $15,000 tax credit for buying a home if you're a first-time home buyer. At the same time, we can't just keep printing money and giving it away. Bailing out people just doesn't work. So let's understand this. In the state of Wisconsin, the banks have been very fiscally conservative and responsible. We haven't got banks that are digging deep piles of debt holes. We don't have that. I'll give you one example. SC Johnson Bank might have 24,000 mortgages out there. Maybe only half a dozen are underwater. So they don't lend money to people that can't afford to pay it back. Now, having said that, a lot of people are losing their jobs and they fall in hard times, and it's due to no fault of their own. So I think that's where the federal government has to step in and help people out by making it possible for a small business to have access to credit. You asked me if I supported the plan that came out from the president, and I would say that I'd support part of it. And I argued very loudly, in fact, earlier this evening, just before coming on the phone, I had some conversations with leadership about how we have to have more investments in our roads, our bridges, in mass transit, and make these jobs are not exported. Once you build a highway, it's here, and it stays here in America for 50 to 80 years if we take care of it. So we have to invest our tax dollars here at home and increase our own property values by doing so. And at the same time, the banks in Wisconsin have money and will be available to people with good credit. So we're dealing with a global economy that's in recession. Russia and China have it much worse than we do. Around the world, this year, there may be 50 million to 200 million people that are going to lose their jobs. This is the type of economic climate we haven't seen since the Great Depression. It's the sort of economic calamity that can cause nations to go to war and to go bankrupt. So it's a terribly important time for us to invest our tax dollars here at home. Vicki from Eagle River, thank you for calling in.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Senator Kagan. I have two questions having to do with services in the northern part of our state. I'm wondering whether the bill is taking into consideration passenger train services going further north, for example, to Green Bay or Wausau, and whether or not you're considering high-speed internet and cell phone services for the northern part of the state.
Very good questions. With regard to high-speed broadband and internet service, yes, there are billions of dollars over a period of 5 years that will go into helping expand broadband service to the rural areas, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country. It's very important for the rural economies to have access to the internet to not just have information, but to be able to begin to do business in a global marketplace. With regard to high-speed rail, it is the intention of the president and the governor of Wisconsin to invest in high-speed rail between Madison and Milwaukee, and also Chicago, Milwaukee, and then Milwaukee up to Green Bay. And the plans for the distant future would also include the northern region as well. But for right now, they're looking at the corridor along Highway 41 from Milwaukee to Green Bay and Madison, Milwaukee. And we have we've put a sizable amount of money towards that rail transportation. We have to modernize our railroads. We have to modernize our transit system, our waterways, our ports. The United States of America is the most underinvested modern economy available. We're about $2.1 trillion behind in terms of investment. And this bill, in its current form, is a great step forward. It's the right medicine at the right time. Let's go to Judy from Eagle River. Judy, thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Congressman Kalin. I was just wondering, my husband lost his job in September, and I'm working part-time at Walmart, and they've cut my hours. He's been turned down several times by many insurance companies for health insurance. I do have some health insurance now, but it's a very high deductible, and it's very expensive. Seems like people between the ages of 45 and 65 don't have children at home, and we aren't old enough for Medicare, and the insurance companies can turn us down. I just want to know what we're supposed to do. If one of us got sick, we would lose our house and everything we have.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation, and that's exactly the reason I ran for Congress in the first place. Many of my patients couldn't afford the prescription drugs that I was prescribing, so what good was I as a doctor if they couldn't afford the medicine that they need? At the same time, more and more people are losing their home. They're going bankrupt because of the high cost of health care. This bill would provide for a federal subsidy to cover 65% of COBRA insurance. If your husband, who lost his job, had insurance at work, you'd only have to pay 35% of the cost of that for 12 months to help you get through the next year until you could get work or until things get better. And the other thing that this bill has in it that I like is that if you're 55 years of age or older, you would then be eligible for COBRA-type insurance until you get to the age of Medicare. The other thing that this bill does for the state of Wisconsin in particular is it provides billions of dollars towards Medicaid to help. It gives money to the states so that people who are falling between the cracks and have to qualify for medical assistance, so the state doesn't go broke taking care of everyone who needs our assistance. But I also submitted a bill and convinced President Obama that the most important thing in health care is that no insurance company should be able to discriminate against you because of a pre-existing medical condition. If you're a citizen, you should be in, and if it's in your body, it should be covered. And if you look at President Obama's WhiteHouse.gov website, the number one thing that he thinks about with regard to health care reform is no discrimination against any citizen due to pre-existing conditions. So I was successful in convincing him that that was very important, and I'm just working my heart out to make sure that we can get insurance that's affordable for everybody. It's just terribly important, not just for you, but for everybody. Every citizen ought to have access to health care that they can afford, and I'm working hard to get that done. If you're still having trouble, give our congressional office a call at 920-437-1954, and we'll look into your situation and see what could be done. There may be some other assistance that we could find for you. And thank you again for your call. I'm sorry that you're in this situation, but I'm working hard to turn this economy around. What about Mary in Manitowish Waters?
Oh, hello, Congressman. I have listened to all the previous callers, and I totally agree with all of them. I mean, I can understand where many people are having very difficult times. But I guess my question is, I'm curious as to whether all of these people, Daschle and Geithner and the lady, I forget what her name was, it was Kill something or other, and I'm curious as to whether they have had to pay penalties because of the fact that they did not pay their taxes on time. The regular American citizen has got to pay penalties. I'm wondering if they had to pay these penalties, and that would put a little extra money into the coffers. And the other question that I have is in regard to the CEOs of these companies. Now, I mean, I listen to the news regularly, and I'm listening to all of these various things that are coming out, and I just wonder how many of these people or these CEOs, what kind of steps are being taken to regulate the amount of income that they can take? And this goes along with the golden parachutes and all this stuff and AIG and all of their misuse of the monies that were given to them.
Well, Mary, thank you for your comments and your question. Looking backwards, I voted against the bailouts because I didn't think they would work, and I think I was proved pretty darn correct on that. There was very little oversight, and from my vantage point, it looked like they were just feeding their friends in the financial world with taxpayer money. The legislation that's coming forward in this bill and in the future TARP money is to say, look, if you're taking taxpayer money, there are definitely strings attached, and there's oversight of what the compensation limits can be. I don't have them in my head, but I know that that's a very top concern of the Appropriations Committee by chaired by David Obey from North Central Wisconsin. So there is going to be strict oversight, an unprecedented amount of oversight in this Economic Recovery Act. It provides for the name, so that the neck of the person's on the line. You can look online and see what we're doing with our taxpayer money. It's the sunshine that sterilizes the wounds in health care, and it's sunshine and transparency that should clean up this mess. But let me get back to the basics on this. The CEOs didn't think twice about taking taxpayer money home in terms of about $18 billion. Now, these people are not like us. They're just not normal people. They don't live in our world. They don't see what we see. They don't have the same life. And they are not like us. They don't share our American values. And they just, they don't belong in our culture, in my view. Let's go to Bill from Surin. You've been hanging on for 45 minutes. Thank you for hanging on, Bill.
Yes, sir. My greatest concern is I'm 66 years old, and I've been arguing this point for years. These automobiles, why did the government bail out these automobile companies when they can't produce a vehicle that gets 60 miles a gallon? Are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm listening.
Okay. I was a farmer and a truck driver over the road.
Yeah.
No. They didn't do no research on this at all. If you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this one out, I'm going to tell you. I had my own truck, and I got 7 miles a gallon year-round on paper, pulling 80,000 pounds most of the time, 18 wheels on the ground. You got a 3,000-pound car that's only getting 25 miles a gallon. Something's wrong with the equation here. The question is, who is controlling the automobile and the oil companies? If you could get these automobile companies to produce better vehicles with better fuel economy, maybe the elderly wouldn't have a hard time putting fuel oil in their furnace in northern Wisconsin to keep their houses warm.
Right. Well, I thank you for your question. I agree with you completely that the automobile industry in the United States really let us down since 1973, since the oil embargo. And it shouldn't take tax incentives to get the car companies to produce cars that get 50 or 60 miles per gallon, or better yet, go on electricity alone. We can generate our own electricity, not just with nuclear, but with other means, with wind and biodiesel and geothermal. We can get off of the Arab oil. And the other way to do that is with natural gas. We got the T-Boone Pickens plan is something I'm in favor of. We got plenty of natural gas in this country that we could convert every diesel truck to natural gas and save billions and billions of dollars every year and help to restore our economy in doing so. But I agree with you completely, and thank you very much for your call. Let's go now to Frank in Marinette. Frank, thank you for your call, and thanks for hanging on for so long.
Okay.
Frank, how are you tonight?
Okay, and you?
Pretty good.
Okay. My question is, I've got two of them really for you. With the health care, when I get asked before, they said from state government up to federal government, always said they can make it affordable for everybody. The thing is, when you live on a fixed income, how is it affordable? I mean, when you make just barely make it month to month.
Right.
You know, I mean, right. I don't know how this is going to, because this bailout or whatever they're talking is supposed to, you know, deal with health care. I want to know if it's going to be able to get health care for everybody.
Yeah, with regard to health care, this Recovery Act doesn't really attack the high cost of health care. What it does is it supports people who have lost their job and people that are fallen through the cracks on the Medicaid, and it also begins to invest in health information technology to get the computers working for us for a change and get digital records. But more to the point, I'll just use my own example. I'm the only member of Congress that did not take health insurance as one of the benefits here because I felt it was wrong that I would take a benefit that wasn't offered to everybody I represent. Well, I had to have my knee surgerized fixed up with that arthroscopy a few weeks back, and before the surgery, They said, well, Kagan, you need an MRI, and it's $1,400. I said, well, what do you get from Medicare? They said, $413. I said, do you make money on Medicare? I said, yeah. How about I write you a check for $413? So I was able to negotiate. Now, what should be the price for everybody? $413, not $1,400. So we have to get to the point where everybody's going to pay the same lowest price for a pill at a pharmacy or a doctor visit or a hospital visit or an MRI of your knee. And I think we can do that by leveraging the marketplace. And I'll give you one other example. If you need a prescription and that same pill is being sold for $1 in Mexico City, well, that company ought to sell it to you in Minocqua and Marinette and everywhere in between, Shawnee and L.A. and New York and Florida, for $1. Let the drug company show us the price they're charging their lowest customer, and that should be the price for everybody. When we do get an open marketplace, we'll drive down the cost for everybody, even if you're on a fixed income. And thank you very much for your call. Rick from Shawnee, you've been hanging on for 49 minutes. You've got a question about energy, I understand.
Yes, sir. I'm wondering if there's money in applying. Everybody talks about alternative fuel sources, and it's a buzzword, but particularly in our area, there's a lot of forest industry, and there's a lot of wood that gets cut. And as a matter of practice, the logs get taken out, or the main bulk of the wood gets taken out. But as a practice, the tops and the limbs and everything else lays in the woods. And I know that there's biomass. People talk about biomass where you collect the tops and you burn it for fuel or for energy for electric plants and whatnot. Or the other alternative is to use that type of wood byproduct for making ethanol for fuel for vehicles. And I want to know if there's specific plans in the bill that's coming forward to talk about specific things rather than just bio or just alternative fuel buzzwords and generalizations.
Right. Well, let me give you a few pointers, a few facts. Number one, I learned just recently that 75% of all the energy consumed in the United States of America is consumed by the federal government, our military, our government buildings, and our government institutions. So what this bill does is it seeks to modernize and weatherize all the federal buildings to cut down the use of energy. The bill also provides for modernization and weatherization of not just our schools, but also your home. The old law was that you could get up to a $2,500 credit for weatherizing your home, making it more energy efficient. Now we move that up to $5,000 in the House version of the bill. The other thing that is in this bill is the beginning of a renewable energy bond so that investors could buy energy bonds that are going to help to invest in the creation of more renewable energy. More to the point with our district with regard to wind, you know, we produce a lot of wind turbines, and we've got a fair amount of wind in the Northeast Corridor of Wisconsin. So we extended the wind production tax credit through 2012, which is another 3 years. And on top of that, we put in some loan guarantees up to $80 billion to have available for renewable energy generation and help to modernize our electric grid. You know, when our electric grid gets smart and modern, you could, at your home, become an energy factory. It is my goal that over time, we have every building in America generating electricity, either by solar or by wind or geothermal. And I think we can get there if the federal government begins to lead the way. And that's a huge portion of what this bill seeks to do. About a third of the money that's invested in America in this bill is aimed at infrastructure, at turning our energy to a different kind of consumption. About 50% of it is aimed at people and helping people out. So this is a people, an infrastructure, and a state stabilization bill when you think about it. Thank you for your question. I'm sorry to be so long-winded, but it was a darn good question. Larry from White Lake, thank you for hanging on for 53 minutes.
Yes, Dr. Kagan.
Yes, Larry, how are you?
Real good. I'd like to congratulate you on your November victory, and I'd also like to thank you to give our citizens of our district a chance to communicate our concerns.
Thank you.
I have a recommendation, first of all. We've heard a lot of complaints about the Geithner story and, of course, about the Daschle mistake, and it's horrible when you see this. But also I see a lot of the people throwing stones. I would wonder if they would audit all 535 members of our Congress under the same platform. I wonder how many would pass the test and not have any tax liabilities.
Well,
it might stop some of our
question.
Hypocrisy.
I can't
Pardon?
Answer it for everybody, but a long time ago I decided that, you know, it was a complex thing filling out these forms, and I've got a certified public accountant that does everything for
yes.
me. So if there's a question, I turn it over to my accountant. But I agree with you that it's good to be squeaky clean, but like they say down in Kentucky, if you scratch any dog, you're going to find a few fleas. So ain't nobody perfect, but we need people in this office with better judgment.
Of course. My first question, although really revolves around something that it's not the hottest issue on the hot burner right now, but it's a very big one financially. Medicare was a brilliant program. It was written in the 1960s by, of course, Johnson's Congress, and it really serves a purpose, and we want it to do well. We want it to be fiscally responsible, and we want it to last. And I'm wondering with the new group in there with Mr. Obama in there now, and, of course, a democratically controlled Congress, a very powerful one, at least statistically, will there be a chance of Medicare reforms? We put it on a more fiscally sound basis.
Well, Medicare is the greatest challenge we have with regard to the economy of our country long term. The
mm-hmm.
aging population, the demographics, and the fact that new technology is very expensive and costly to invest in. So I think it's the application of technology to the last 6 months of life that drives about 80% of the cost in Medicare. But Medicare is tremendous. I mean, people walk straight because of Medicare. They have knees, they've got hips, they have a quality of life and are living longer than ever before because of the 1964 creation of Medicare. And I think what we have to do is find a different way of paying for that medical service. We should be rewarding prevention of illness, rewarding stabilization of people's disease, and preventing people from getting amputations from diabetes or complications from heart attacks from hypertension. We have to reward prevention more so than procedure after procedure after procedure. But it's a big battle that's coming, as you can expect, because right now the economic engine of America is healthcare. Healthcare is the only section in the economy that we have that's generating many, many more jobs. So we've got time for one more question, and let's go to Dottie from Surin. Thank you very much for calling in. You've been hanging on there for 56 minutes.
Yes. Hi, Congressman.
Dottie, thanks for calling.
I moved here to Wisconsin just over 5 years ago, and I did have questions, and I still do, about health care and how it can be cheaper. And I came from Canada, so we have the national health care system up there.
Uh-huh.
And it's a lot different than here. Like, you know, I'm not used to bringing a checkbook and stuff like that to my doctor's appointments. And talking just with people 65 years of age and over, we'll say. I don't know. It's hard for me to wrap my head around these people that have, you know, built the country having to decide whether they should skip doses of their medication in order
to... It's a terrible choice that people are going through right now. You're quite right. Many people are skipping a meal to take a pill or skipping a pill to take a meal. And we've come to the point in America where we have to reform our healthcare system, and it shouldn't be by... slight small amounts. What we have to do is reward value. We have to reward people for preventing complications of diseases that get to be very, very expensive. I'm confident we can do that without government-run health care. I was involved and interacted with the government health care in Canada, and works for some if you're healthy. But if you're not very healthy, it can be extended waiting periods, and it's highly taxed as well. So it's a drag on the economy. I believe in a free market system, and I'm sure that we can accomplish that with a great deal of effort here by everyone putting their hands together and not pointing out fingers. We've got time, hopefully, for one more call here from Cindy from Pulaski. Cindy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Thank you. I'm sorry you're going to be the last caller, but if you could ask the question, I'd be able to squeeze
sure.
in here.
I'd like to know how building roads and bridges is going to impact the economy. Like you said, that would be one of your investments.
Sure.
And
sure, that's
also,
a very good question.
I'd like to know if you would consider changing the Social Security taxes from what it is now to 1% across the board.
Well, let me answer your question first about the highway construction, bridges, water treatment plants, and the like. These are very high-paying jobs, and the money percolates through the entire community and the region. For example, when I bring home $1.5 billion to rebuild Highway 41, make it an interstate, that'll percolate through the entire northeastern part of Wisconsin 5 to 7 times. So that's like about anywhere from a $5 to $10 billion investment in northeast Wisconsin. It stimulates the entire region. With regard to Social Security, that's a mathematical game where we have to adjust the tax rate on Social Security to take care of everybody. I strongly feel that Social Security is a sacred contract between one generation and the next, and we can't ever allow people to think that that would disappear. And thank God that we didn't get talked into putting the Social Security money that we have for people in the stock market. We would have lost 40 to 50% of it. Well, thank you, everybody, for participating. I want to remind everyone, if you would stay on the line after I close this discussion, you can leave a voice message for me, and we'll be happy to get back to you either by telephone or by writing just as quickly as we can. I want to thank the 3,000 and nearly 500 people who participated this evening from Northeast Wisconsin. It's truly an honor for me to represent you here in Congress. Thank you again. This is Congressman Steve Kagan, and thank you again for participating. Have a good evening, and God bless you.